prepared to them to tell a story. It told the story of the birth of Jesus. It told of the angels as they would come and speak to the shepherds. It spoke of Mary. Mary, how much did you know or understand? And we like to joke, yeah, Mary knew. Well, she knew some of the stuff. She knew he was the Christ. She couldn't possibly have known that he would walk on water or some of the things he would do in his life. But we saw a story. Even the last song we sang, Go Tell It on a Mountain, we saw what the shepherds did after they had heard this story of Christ, the star that was there over Bethlehem, and the angels were singing. They went and they were telling the world that the Messiah had come. You know, don't we love to tell stories and songs? And many of these Christmas hymns we sing, they're telling a wonderful story for us. And perhaps you should have a song in your life, a song that praises God, a song that speaks splendor of who he is. In fact, on Wednesdays, we started a series going through the Psalms. Did you know the Psalms? It was a hymn book. They were songs that they would sing, especially on their pilgrimage. They would sing these praises to God. Tonight, I want to tell of one more song. While we could look at several around the Christmas story, we could look at Zechariah. Zechariah, as he had had his son, a miraculous gift of John, who later be called John the Baptist or John the Baptizer, he would tell and sing of a song what God had done. The angels, as we already looked at, they sang a song, Glory to God in the highest. But I want to look at the song of Mary this evening for just a moment. Mary, after she had been told that she was going to be with child, and she had asked, how is this even possible? How can this happen? And God had told her, and she received the news, and she has a story of a song. One is a story, a song of God's grace. She had received a visit from the angel Gabriel. He had given her this great news. She was going to be the mother of the Messiah, the promised one to Israel. Mary's response is found in Luke chapter 1, verse 38. And she says, Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. How scary that had to have been. Here she was. She wasn't married. She had never known a man. And yet she was told she was going to have child. I imagine she had been scared, maybe confused, but yet she says, I am the servant of the Lord. She had also heard that her cousin Elizabeth was also going to have a child. And so she decides she's going to pay Elizabeth a visit. And she goes to visit her. And can you imagine her delight when she finds out that Elizabeth has confirmed everything that has been told her? And it was after this that Mary, she tells her song, a Christmas song, if you would, a song of grace. She would say in verse 47 of Luke chapter 1, she says, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And she's rejoicing in the news of this first Christmas, although she wouldn't have called it Christmas. But what does she do? She exalts and magnifies the Lord for all that he had done and all that he would do. And friends, that is what we do at Christmas. We rejoice in the Savior who has come. As we sing these hymns, what are we doing? We're remembering Christ. We're remembering the glory of God. We should be singing with the goal and desire to lift his name high. Mary is rejoicing in her God and in her Savior. Well, why? Because Mary needed a Savior. And God's intent, as he would send his son, he would send Jesus to earth, was to deliver Israel, to deliver the world, to deliver you and me from the penalty of sin. Yes, we need a Savior. And Mary is magnifying God. As she says, My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Not only did she know that, it also says that in verse 48, she's saying, For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. She understood God's grace. She was a nobody. She was just from Nazareth. She understood that of all the millions or thousands perhaps of women that he could have chose at the time, God by his grace chose her. A name, how many thousands of years we still remember her. We still praise God for what he did. She understood that generations would know her name and would consider how precious this was in her life. She understood God's grace. In verse 49 and 50, she would add, "For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation." But Mary had realized that it was God who had showed mercy on her, that it is God who shows mercy on all those who fear him. You see, Mary's song is a song of God's grace. As you come here tonight and we celebrate Jesus, I want you to know that the story of Jesus is a story of God's grace. That God, he sent his son for you. You don't deserve Jesus. I don't deserve Jesus. But we don't deserve the life he lived. We don't deserve that he came and died on the cross for us. We are sinners. We have failed God. We deserve to be punished. But God was gracious to us. And he loved us, so he sent his son Jesus for us. Jesus came to earth to die for Mary's sins. Jesus came to die for your sins. Romans tells us in chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, while we were enemies, Christ died for us." Jesus' dying on the cross was an act of grace. You didn't deserve it. It was unmerited favor that he showed to you by sending his son to die for you. But how do we respond to this grace? John 3:16 tells us God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Eternal life is available to you if you trust Christ as your Savior. And make sure this Christmas that your song that you are singing is a song that is saying, "I am so thankful for the grace of God. God has given it to you. It is available to you." But would you believe? Would you accept that free gift of salvation? If so, then you can be like Mary. She was singing of God's grace, but then she also sang of his greatness. As her song continues and she speaks of the greatness of God, she says in verse 51, "He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts." She says, our God is a mighty God. He is a strong God. He is omnipotent, meaning he is all-powerful. This is the God who sends the thunderstorms. This is the God who created the great Niagara Falls. Our family went there this year. It was so beautiful. So powerful, just going close to it and getting soaked with water. This is the God who created it, and he created it fast. He created it out of nothing. What did the prophet Jeremiah say? He said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and created, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. And stretched out arm, and there is nothing too difficult or nothing too hard for thee." No matter what you have done, no matter what is in your life, there is nothing too difficult for God. James 4:6 says, "He giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." We have a great God. Mary would go on to sing in verse 52. It says, "He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate." There have been many mighty rulers throughout the years, and God is greater than them all. Many have been proud and said, "Look what I've done." And God says, "It is done. You have done nothing." Christ came in a humble estate, even though he was mighty. And she would go on to sing of what he did. She says, he has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. But we can thank God again for his greatness here. He has provided so much in the physical world, but he's also provided greatness in the spiritual things. And think of the apostles. They were just mere 12 men, some fishermen or tax collectors. They were nothing, but they thirsted after righteousness, and through them, because of Jesus Christ, God turned the world upside down. Hey, think of the King Agrippa. He had an audience with the great Apostle Paul, and Paul preached the gospel to him. But as close as he ever came to Christianity, he said this statement, which I believe is the saddest statement in the Bible. He says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. It is sad because here was a man who was rich, who was mighty. He had everything except what was the most important. He went away empty. By all accounts, he went away without Jesus Christ. Friends, as this Christmas season, here's the saddest thing. You can hear of Jesus. You can hear of what he did, and you can leave here without it ever making a difference. There is nothing more sad. There is great joy, though, in Jesus Christ. There is celebration when you return to him. There is greatness and loveliness and peace when you accept that free gift of salvation. Mary would add in verse 54 and 55, she says, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. Israel understood God's greatness. God had protected Israel. God had helped Israel. And make no mistake, one day Israel is going to rise to greatness again with the help of Jesus Christ. It should remind us as we face problems even in our world today and difficulties, don't be fooled. God is still in control. God preserves those who are his own. And so as she remembered, they say, God, you remembered your mercy. You remembered your promises that you gave hundreds and hundreds of years ago to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. It is a reminder to us the promise of Jesus Christ. The promise of those who believe there's a day there will be no more pain or suffering, no more sorrow. There will be the joys of heaven. And there will also be a day where Jesus Christ will return again. Friends, today we serve a great God. We know in the end he'll be victorious. And oh, I hope that you and I all together will be there with him. And we know that you will be if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior for the forgiveness of sins. Will you pray with me this evening? Lord, today we have gathered together in the name of Jesus Christ. Our God and our Savior, he came to earth in a humble form. God came down as a baby. God came down to be among sinful men. God came down, the Creator, to be with the creation. And Lord, he even came to die for us. We thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for your grace that all those who believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins will be the recipients of your grace and experience your greatness. Lord, help us to remember this season, to celebrate Jesus, to celebrate our Savior. May we never forget your goodness, your graciousness, and your greatness. Lord, what a joy it would be this Christmas if even one in our midst or watching online would come and say, I desire, I choose to believe, I choose to accept this free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you, Lord, for tonight and Jesus Christ, that he came and was crucified. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This evening, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, I urge you before we leave tonight, speak with me.